Oh, well, I guess not today. All right, here goes. Oh, maybe I lied.
Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
You know, some days are just better than others when it comes to the open of the show. Anyways, this is the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I am the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. You'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up over there tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with
3Ds. All right, Dan. Well, you know, I really felt old today, and I'm sure you, well, maybe you do too, but did you realize that it has been 30 years since Michael Jordan hit the shot over Craig Elo to have the Bulls beat the Cavaliers in that series?
Wow.
So, do you remember where you were when that happened?
Watching the game.
So, you know, I actually do remember where I was watching the game and all that other fun stuff that goes along with it. So, just one of those things. The humorous thing about it is I don't know how many people know this or remember it, is in the huddle, Doug Collins was the coach at the time. This was before Phil Jackson and they started winning championships. He actually designed the play for Dave Corzine to take the final shot. And as the story goes, Michael Jordan allegedly put his finger on the clipboard and said, no, give me the ball. So just one of those odd coaching things, you know, it makes you wonder, I guess you wouldn't expect Corzine to take the last shot. So, you know, maybe you could have got him closer to the basket, but I always wonder why coaches do that. They just kind of overthink it, and it's like, man, you have Michael Jordan. That was like your guy David Blatt when he was running the Cavaliers. I forgot what playoff game. Actually tried to design a play for your other guy, J.R. Smith, instead of just giving the ball to LeBron. So, you know, coaches have kind of a history of doing that, but I don't know, Dan. What causes these guys to make those decisions?
Because they're the coach.
You know, when you're coaching your daughter's basketball team someday, are you going to run it like that?
We'll
you know, you're going to go away from the good player and, you know, try to get the sneaky underrated player to score the game winner.
Exactly. Smartest guy in the room.
Or in some case just sneaky. So, you know. But yeah, like I said, it just kind of made me feel old after I heard all the. I was like, "Good Lord, it's been 30 years. What did I do?" And I've done nothing with my life since then, Dan. That's how bad it is. So, yeah, that's just kind of how it goes, I guess. So, you know, and then I actually realized also today, NBA wise, that they do have one relatively good playoff series going on, but nobody wants to talk about it because it's the Blazers and the Nuggets.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, like the game, you know, I think it was one or it might have even been two of their playoff games were actually relegated to NBA TV. That's how much, you know, the networks who are paying the big money to show these playoffs, you know, the good old Mickey Mouse Network and TNT, thought of this series that they allowed. I believe it might have been two games, but I know it was at least one. They actually allowed one of the games just to be shown on NBA TV. So, but yeah, this is actually turning out to probably be the best series, you know, going. But, you know, like I said, nobody cares because all anybody wants to talk about is, you know, Warriors, Rockets, and then whatever Kyrie is talking about in his interview. I don't know if you saw his interview yesterday, but he basically blamed everybody but himself on the Celtics for them being down 3-1. I was like, well, I guess he's leaving as a free agent. He's going to go back and play with LeBron. So,
yeah, he learned his lesson.
You know, so, yeah, I was just kind of like, okay, hey, you know, that's nice. I mean, let's throw everybody under the bus except myself because I'm trying to do everything. So, like, great, here we go. But, yeah, he was brought there to be the, you know, the guy, and I guess all he's proven is that he can't be, right?
Pretty much.
So, you know, and I think there are two games tonight. I'm not even sure who the heck is playing who anymore, but I believe we're going to get – who are the 76ers playing? Oh, yeah, they're playing Toronto. So I believe that series is going on tonight. And then we are going to get a, you know, another Nuggets-Blazers game. So, you know, we'll see what goes on there. I won't be watching any of them because I just don't, you know, we've been over this before. I don't care. I just really don't. I'm so tired of the NBA right now. Will you even bother to –
Oh my God!
The one game was on early, so you can watch that. But
it's like Groundhog Day with you.
What? So, you know. Well, I try. You know, it's supposed to be all sports all the time. So I really try not to hate, but God, I just can't. I just can't get past this NBA thing. I don't know what it is. I guess maybe if I saw a good game, I would enjoy it, but I just can't seem to, you know, to find anything. So, you know, this is where you have to pick up the phone and you have to watch the NBA because I don't want to.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I had more interest than you did, but I'm pretty much right there. Especially with baseball going on, you know. I think you should just be like, hey, playoffs tonight, this network, this time.
Yeah.
Good luck if you watched it.
You know, say what the games are. I think the games are on TNT tonight if you are looking for them. You can go ahead and check that out. But, in stuff that is absolutely incredibly more exciting, we have a game 7 in the NHL tonight, and oh, I am so aggravated right now because my internet just cut out on me. I know it's Dallas and St. Louis. The problem is I don't know where the heck they're playing. So I was trying to look that up. Here you go. It just popped up for me again. Yeah, it's Dallas at St. Louis. Oh, So obviously the series is tied at 3-3. They're on the NBC Sports Network. We also get a game 7 tomorrow as we get Colorado at San Jose. That's a little later start because it's out west, so it's an 8 o'clock start. So, you know, and then Thursday the East Conference Final will get rolling. It starts, obviously, it's Carolina at Boston. You know, Boston managed to close out their series last night. So, yeah, if you want to watch exciting playoffs – you know, hunt down the NBC Sports Network tonight at 7 o'clock and watch Dallas at St. Louis, you know, and see who's going to move on there. You know, then swing back tomorrow and watch Colorado at San Jose. So, you know, should be some fun, at least I hope. You know, the games have been really good. You know, they've been close and competitive, and hopefully that keeps going.
I think it will.
So, you know, that'll be fun to watch, because I'm assuming it's going to be quite the crappy night at Wrigley for baseball here locally. So I don't know how much of that I want to pay attention to with the weather being garbage. So, you know, that will be fun to flop over to. But I did, Dan, I know you're excited about this, as am I, that Shohei Ohtani is set to make his debut tonight for the Angels against the Tigers. You know, it's an interesting, you know, scenario. I mean, a pitcher who's coming back, Tommy John, who happens to be a hitter. You know, do you think it's a little different for this guy, because, you know, it's his right arm he had the surgery on, and that's the arm he leads with in the batter's box. He's hitting third tonight for the Angels as the DH. You know, do you think that has a different effect on him than, say, like, you know, obviously when Didi comes back, you know, your guy Didi for the Yankees, his arm, that'll be his back arm because he's right-handed as well. So do you think there's any type of effect or anything there that these guys have to, that Ohtani would have to go through?
It's so confusing because I thought the Tommy John had to do with the elbow. And, you know, I know swinging the bat, you're not flicking the elbow, but you're extending it. So I don't understand how it's going to be healthy for him.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a doctor, nor do I play one on TV. So, sadly, I cannot answer those questions. I just, you know, wanted your opinion. So, you know, and then he needs to come out. You know, he's on Mr. Fantasy, and I stashed him on our Money League bench. So he needs to come out and, you know, and play well, because it's very for me and for us that he does this. So we'll have to see how he gets rolling. Do you think, you know, obviously here's a guy, I think he had a couple, I don't even know if he went on a rehab, but I'm hitting it, you know, the league or whatever. Is there, you think there's going to be an adjustment time here, or are you buying him being able to step in and just kind of rake?
No, I think there's definitely going to be adjustment. I mean, we've seen the adjustment when he first came into the game. So, you know, I mean, nobody knew what to expect last year. So he's hitting off the bat, then he slumped because everyone figured him out, so. I think the scouting is there, so they're going to have just a slightly better edge than he would coming in as a completely healthy, unknown guy.
So, yeah, and, you know, obviously, you know, and, you know, they're saying, you know, they're not quite sure yet how many days a week he's going to DH, but it's looking, you know, like it's only going to be, you know, a couple to start. You know, I know Pujols is at first base tonight. So, you know, somebody's going to lose that, those at-bats. You got to figure Justin Bour is going to be the guy who loses the majority of the at-bats. But, yeah, I mean, how, you know, you think he's going to be able to go three games a week? Or, you know, how you buying that? I mean, you know, like they're actually letting him start against the lefty tonight. You know, it's Daniel Norris for the Tigers who's, you know, he's been pretty good. You know, I want to say surprising, but I don't want to insult the guy because I haven't honestly seen any of his starts. So, yeah, I mean, are you, you know, yeah, I guess, A, are you surprised they're going to throw him out there against the lefty? And then, B, how many days a week you see him going?
Yeah, I was kind of sitting on the number three. I think that's pretty sufficient. You know, will he? I don't know.
So, yeah, it's just, you know, obviously it's so tough to tell, and we'll have to, you know, kind of play along and see where he goes. But, you know, I am a little interested to see the lefty-lefty matchup for him because, I'm most lefties are tough on other lefties. So, you know, we'll have to see. But yeah, you know, the other thing I'm rolling kind of into here are the, you know, we've talked about the Giants all the time. We haven't talked about them much this year, but are they finally kind of heading for that rebuild that we thought they were going to do? You know, they designated Gerardo Parra last week. He elected free agency instead of going to the minors. Today they designated Yanhervis Solarte and then Pat Vendetti, who's the ambidextrous pitcher, to, you know, bring up a couple more young guys. You know, Mack Williamson is back. I believe he's getting a start in the outfield. And they brought up Donovan Solano, who's a utility guy. Like a lot of Giants minor leaguers are, they like to have their guys play all the positions. Is this kind of the start of that rebuild we were under the impression that they were going to go through all along? Do you see this as being the beginning?
I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say with this Giants team because they're not trading off Baumgartner, Posey, any of the major players. So I don't see, the rebuild coming in.
Yeah, because obviously right now, you know, they just trimmed off, you know, the two guys they rounded out their roster with, you know, in Parra and then Solarte. And, you know, they brought Vendetti up. I believe somebody was injured, and he's out of minor league options. So the only way to send him back down is to designate him. And, you know, after the way he pitched, I don't know if anybody would bother to claim him. But, you know, he just happened to be the name in the story with it. So, I don't know. Are we finally gonna get to see them start making a trade? I mean, what are they waiting for?
Well, I mean, if you really consider Gerardo Parra being a major player for this team, that's going
he's a solid veteran outfielder for. You know, I mean, for the right team as a fourth or fifth guy, you know, he could be, you know, really, really useful. That's why I was a little surprised that it was Giants that made the signing. You know, even like with Solarte, I understand the signing.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what we're going for. And, you know, whether or not he's good for any other team, you got to look at what he's done for the Giants so far. And with 86 at bats and a sub 200 batting average, you know, with only a home run and 6 RBI, you know, he really wasn't working out for them. And then with Panda back on their team for God knows how long, I mean, don't they already have one not so great guy going to play third base?
Well, you know, Solarte did turn himself into a utility guy. You know, he was able to, you know, bounce around, play the other positions. So, you know, and he even spent some time in the outfield. I guess the thing that just, you know, is kind of baffling me is, you know, they have bullpen pieces that are really attractive. You know, I mean, there has to be a team, I mean, even locally here, hint, that, you know, could use some help in the bullpen. And, you know, I mean, you know, Tony Watson's in the last year of his contract. You know, Melanson's only got a year left after this one. These should be, you know, interesting ads. You know, I mean, maybe they're waiting for the right offer, or maybe it's just too early for teams to make moves. But Melanson is pitching really well. You know, so is Watson. I know Will Smith has been closing games, and he'll be a free agent at the end of the season. So I don't know. I mean, if you don't want to move, okay, you don't want to move Bumgarner because you think you can re-sign him. That's great, but you've got pieces to build around that you can get something back for. And there's Pablo Sandoval can only give you so many innings out of the bullpen, Dan. I mean, what are they waiting for?
Yeah, well, I mean, is it a matter of taking those guys and doing a teardown, i.e. Royals Cubs, or trying to use those guys to do what the Yankees did, where you're not really tearing it down. You're giving up a couple of key pieces that will give you back more than what you need. And we're only in the first week of May. And I think for them to move, any of those three guys you brought up at this from the game would be a little premature, where you'd want to get in a position to where they need this guy, not so much as they want one of these guys.
Well, in some cases you can say that they need this guy.
Yeah.
Did you watch the Cubs game last night, Dan? They need one of those guys. So just kind of flat out, you could throw the Brewers in there who are burning their bullpen up. I mean, you could probably throw out literally any team where these guys would fit with no problem or no issue. And, I would think, maybe it's just me, but I would think it's kind of better to strike early when it may not cost you as much. To sit and wait, are the Cubs really hoping that Brandon Morrow is their savior after the All-Star break? I don't know.
Well, I guess, but I guess the real question you should be asking is not so much why aren't the Giants moving these guys, but why aren't, Cubs, or whoever else, contacting them? Why are we not hearing any kind of news? And they blatantly need the help. I think that's the bigger question.
You do wonder why, we haven't heard anything. And I mean, obviously, the first thing is the fact that, it is still early. But, I mean, you can tell just by looking that, these are start targeting teams. Hey, guys need this or that. And again, it's great to wait and just be like, oh, no problem. We can get a guy, down the road here. No big deal. But, man, I would think if I could jump on a guy a little quicker, and obviously I'm not saying, you go out and you dump Madison Bumgarner at this play, this time, because he's going to build value the closer you get to the trade deadline. But, these other guys, I mean, with the way especially Melanson and Watson are pitching, I think now would be the time to kind of go, hey, let's go see what we can get. I mean, you're only going to get so much anyways. You're not going to get franchise play changing, franchise changing prospects for these guys, but you can get decent, prospects that can kind of help you out. So I would think, hey, let's start looking and seeing what's out there. But obviously they know what they're doing, right, Dan? That's what I'm going with.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, when it comes to the Giants, what are they looking for? I definitely think the Cubs make a great matchup with them, whether it's Russell or, one of the outfielders. Obviously, I don't think Hayward. I believe he's got a no-trade clause, so he wouldn't be going anywhere. Or it's limited, but with his contract and not knowing if he'll opt out, I don't think the Giants would want to take on another one like that. But when you look at Almora, I don't think Schwarber would be on the table, those guys, but, even Ian Hoff. So So you
I was going to ask you that. Did Ian hop for one of those guys?
Not straight up. I definitely think it takes a little bit an extra player.
Well, here you give up Ian Hop for both of those guys. If the Giants say, "Hey, we'll give you Watson and Melanson," you're going to give me Ian Hop?
I meant the other way around.
Oh.
No, I don't think you're. I don't think half of that have that anymore. They're going to warrant two players for him. I think it would be him, he, and maybe one other player for Melanson. Well, maybe Watson.
Yeah, well, remember, Watson is in the last year of his deal, so I don't know how much you're going to get there. You know, Melanson, you'll at least have next year for sure. Watson does have a player option, but it's only for $2.5 million, and I doubt he's going to pick that up. You know, he'll probably elect free agency, even in the market the way it is now. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, looking at some of their other guys, I mean, besides them and obviously Bumgarner, they have difficult contract to move. I mean, Samardzija has 2 years left, this year and next year, but he's being paid just under $20 million. You know, I don't see anybody taking that deal without the Giants beating a big chunk of money. You know, Posey's not going anywhere. It doesn't matter what his deal is, but you know, Cueto's not pitching this year, so I doubt he's moving. Brandon Belt has this and two more years left at $16 million. Brandon Crawford's in the same boat at 15.2, and then Longoria's got this year and three more with an escalating salary. So I don't think there's a lot of value there unless the Giants are going to be willing to pick up big money. Do you?
I mean, with Smarja, I think they get away with 10. Picking up 10 million.
I forgot. Do you know, I don't remember what his numbers are this year. How is he, you know, off the top of your head, how he's been doing? Let me see if I can hunt it down here quickly. But as you know, my internet is not always friendly. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, I just saw Madison Bumgarner at 1-4, which has been reflected in my fantasy league. So that's been fun.
Oh. All right, let's see. I'm moving on. I'll move along a little better than normal.
You know, a little better. He's 2-1 in 7 games with a 3.16. And
oh, yeah.
37
yeah.
innings. He's got 29 strikeouts. So he's definitely dropped that ERA down from the, you know, mid to high fours.
Yeah, oddly, he's not striking out as many people as normal. That's a low number for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, normally he's almost normally a strikeout plus per inning guy.
Yeah. So I was a little surprised by that as well.
But, yeah, I mean, yeah, the rest of it are good. So, you know, maybe, you know, down the road, you know, somebody's out there looking. I don't think, like, he's a target now. You know, I think he would be a guy closer to the trade deadline. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just wondering if, you know, this is the start of their kind of, hey, let's get rolling and see if we can kind of start to fix it. To know, you know, can you fix it? Will you fix it? How do you fix it?
It's definitely time they fix, because, I mean, I think we were all in limbo, especially after 2017 or 16, because that was, you know, blaming.
So, yeah, and then, you know, speaking of, what, technically, you know, was he a Giant? No, maybe he wasn't a Giant. But, you know, I don't know how we didn't bring this up, Dan, but we missed Jake Peavy retiring officially. Now, to be honest with you, I thought he'd been retired a long time ago because he hasn't pitched since 2019. But, yeah, apparently he officially retired. It was either yesterday or the day before. Or 2016
yeah,
he hasn't pitched in.
Oh, he hasn't. It's been that long since he pitched for the White Sox?
Well, he pitched for the White Sox back in 2013. The last two-plus years of his career he spent with the Giants.
Oh, that's right.
So
I didn't realize it's been that long. I just thought he pitched last year. Time flies, Big Jack.
Let me see here. Yeah, no, 2016 with the Giants was his, last year. He was a Cy Young winner back in the day with the Padres. Oh, what was that? That was 2007. Yeah. So, but yeah, in case you didn't know that he retired.
Yeah. No, I saw that a few days ago. I don't know if that was one of the StatHead newsletters. I did see that, but I think it just passed me by when we started up the podcast that day. Or maybe it was on a weekend. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, it may have been Sunday that it became official, so maybe it wasn't something that, popped. But I saw somebody bring it up this morning. I think just when I was watching the MLB Network while I was having breakfast, I believe that they mentioned it. And I was like, oh, yeah, I never even bothered to, Dan and I never even bothered to kind of be like, oh, hey, yeah, look, this happened. So, yeah, that happened. But he was he was 152 and 126 in his career with a 3.63 ERA. So, I guess solid numbers.
Well, and he pitched for the wrong Giants teams. Otherwise, he'd have a ring.
I don't think he was in Boston when they won one either. So, he did win two World Series titles. So, maybe he was in Boston at the right time.
I don't know. It would usually say.
Yeah, I don't think he pitched for either of those teams because I don't remember the Padres winning one. Do you? Let's see what his postseason numbers are here. He does have a World Series start for Boston back in 2013 against St. Louis, and then he had two World Series starts for the Giants in 2014. So. He did pick up a couple rings there. So, I don't know if, I don't think he's getting any, any Hall of Fame votes or anything, but I know for a little while, I don't know if it was a long period of time, but there were people who thought he was the best pitcher in baseball. So, I know when the White Sox picked him up, they thought it was a gigantic coup for them, and it definitely didn't go their way. They didn't accomplish much with him. And he seemed to be quite injury prone. How many years was he there? About 4.5 years. He only made 30 starts one time with them. So, but yeah, I don't, like I said, I don't expect to see Jake Peavy getting in. Hey, Cooper Treiman, are you voting for him, Dan? Is he on your ballot? Comes along in 5 years?
Yeah, when I get mine from the, I forgot what the organization is called. But don't forget, when the White Sox picked him up, like you said, they thought it was, whatever. I was questioning it because, that was a total steal. We picked up a guy who was coming off of Tommy John.
Yeah, and then, just kind of, you know, kind of looking at it here, the White Sox didn't give up too much to get him. Dexter Carter, Aaron Porrett, Clayton Richard is the only guy I think that played in the majors on the deal, and Adam Russell. And then when they sent him to Boston, it was actually a three-team deal. The White Sox got Avisail Garcia from Detroit. Detroit got Jose Iglesias from Boston. And then the White Sox got some minor leaguers. One of them was actually Frankie Montas, who's in the A's rotation. And then when the Red Sox shipped him off to San Francisco, they got Edwin Escobar and then Heath Hembree, who's actually still in the Red Sox bullpen right now. So at least they got something out of it. But yeah, I mean, no gigantic, you know, names or anything. Nobody ever gave up much to get him. You know, obviously Garcia was a bust with Chicago. So, Iglesias was a solid defensive shortstop for the Tigers, but just kind of a below average hitter. Mm-hmm. So,
and Garcia's in Tampa now.
Yeah, doing quite well. But you know, Iglesias is the Reds utility guy. So,
is it what?
He's the Reds utility infielder right now. He's just playing regularly. The Scooter is out, but you know.
Yeah. I know it was kind of weird watching a Reds game last week and to hear Iglesias' name, and you're like, wait, what? I thought I was watching the Reds, not the Tigers.
Yeah, because he did. I think when we were talking yesterday, I think he did double and triple in their game yesterday, the early game while you and I were talking about it. So, he's decent offensively, but I don't think he's, he wasn't like a game changer or anything.
No.
So, I did see, and I don't know if this is good or bad or how you want to look at it, but, you know, it was reported that Dallas Keuchel is holding firm on his demands, Dan. But then he was also quoted as saying he's not looking to sit out this whole year.
He's looking to?
No, he's not looking to. So,
well, then
that sounded kind of like a contradiction involving out.
A giant contradiction. I don't want to sit out all year, but I also don't want to backpedal on my deal. So, I mean, you know, let's just say you're a team and he's been out there wanting the 5 years at blah, 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 whatever. So does that get prorated now to 4 years and, you know, so many months?
I still can't see a team going, 5 years and 100+ million on this guy. Can you?
No, and then he gets stuck sitting out all year. Who knows what he does? Hopefully he doesn't great white hype it. You've got to go back for that one. And then he's back on the market next year, and without any numbers. Does he call up Scott Boras and ask to join his camp of guys who were reluctant to take qualifying offers or any hometown deals or any of that stuff and try to make, get people excited about him that way? And then does your 5-year deal all of a sudden turn into 4 since you lost out on a year?
Yeah, it will be interesting to see how it kind of goes, if he does sit out, how they try to spin it or what they try to do with it. Cause I keep hearing the rumors saying that the Yankees will be very interested once the compensation goes away, but I still don't understand. I mean, you and I talked about this, the compensation isn't that much now. I don't know why they would want to wait if they really thought they needed the guy. Go get him.
Yeah. Well, and that's
so,
why
yeah,
it's a rumor, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I buy that rumor. I think it may have just been something thrown out there to try to stir up a little noise because, I mean, when was the last time we heard anything about Keuchel?
We don't really hear any. Well, talking local radio because you don't hear anything but the Bears. Hey,
right,
baseball season.
So.
The Bears. No, I mean, I really haven't seen anything. You know, even checking MLB, there's no – you know, their emails that they send out, newsletters, nothing. You know, Baseball Reference with their Stathead newsletter, nothing. You don't even see Keuchel's name, let alone hear it.
No,
so,
even
and,
on,
you know,
MLB
for
Davis, no rumor.
Well, and you know, for the Yankees to not be interested in a guy until he lowers his compensation. I mean, with the staff, with the payroll that the Yankees have. I really haven't looked into it as of late, but I mean, I don't think they're really in worry for the luxury cap.
They were talking about when the compensation pick goes away, so they don't have to give the Astros anything.
Oh, okay, break time.
You know, you and I talked about it. I mean, with the way they lowered it, that shouldn't be in any kind of infringement to the Yankees signing him, should it? You know, I mean, if he was your guy, wouldn't you go get him now instead of waiting? So, but yeah, it's just, you know, that made, I don't know, just kind of, you know, little to no sense to me. And I mean, you know, he obviously overplayed his hand, got some bad advice. However you want to look at it, it just didn't work out for him. So, you know, we'll have to see, but, you know, even like here, the quote is, Keuchel said that, Scott Boras is his agent. He said that they did have some offers, but he told them no on numerous deals because it's about principle. It's about fair market value, and I wasn't getting that. Well, I got bad news for him. He's not going to get that now, at least not for the rest of this year. I doubt he's going to get anything close to what he thinks he deserves next year. So hopefully he was smart with his money before he hit free agency because he is slowly but surely playing his, you know, or talking his way out of the league. So, you know, I don't get it. So, we'll have to see. You know, they mention, and it's funny because, like, they mentioned the Yankees, the Brewers, and the Angels are among possible landing spots depending on health status of their injured pitchers and, of course, their place in the standings. But then they add that's when the draft is over. So I don't know how that's going to work. You know, the Brewers already brought in Gio Gonzalez. I doubt they would add another salary. Especially one as large as what Keuchel's is going to be. The Angels aren't going to be contenders, so if he wants to go there and play for nothing, that's great. His only hope is that the Yankees, you know, would be interested. You know, no one expects Luis Severino back until after the All-Star break. And, you know, James Paxton did just leave a game with a knee issue. So, you know, maybe that's someplace where the Yankees might have to step up and be just kind of like, oh, hey, okay, we've got to pay this price. So, you know, I don't know, you know, as of April 30th, you know, they mentioned that Keuchel was interested in signing a 1-year deal, which would allow him to re-enter free agency. And I believe if he signs after the draft, the team he signs with might not be able to attach the compensation to him. They might not be able to offer him the qualifying offer. Of course, if they did, he would probably be smart to take it. So, yeah, I I don't know. I think it's a lot of smoke and mirrors on his part right now, trying to kind of feign some interest that there actually are teams out there that want him, because I honestly don't think there are. I don't really see any reason to go by that or how it works out. But, we'll see if he's able to drop something up and, possibly find a landing spot. I don't know. Like I said, I don't buy it. So,
are you still on Keuchel?
Yeah, I'm just kind of wrapping it up. You know how that goes. But I did want to see. I know we had some games get rolling here on us. I wanted to see what kind of scores we had. Here it looks like the Mariners actually have the lead on the Yankees, 1-0 in the top of the third. The White Sox again jumped out in front of the Indians. That's 1-0 in the bottom of the fourth. Looks like the Red Sox are going to hit a little tonight, Dan. They really stoned me on FanDuel last night because they choked like dogs. But they're up 2-0 already on the Orioles in the bottom of the first. Texas, Pittsburgh, Minnesota, Toronto, the Angels at Detroit, and Arizona at Tampa Bay all have no score. So those are the games that are rolling along right now. Of course, we have we have some more getting ready to get started. We have Washington at Milwaukee, Philadelphia at St. Louis, Miami is here in Chicago to play the Cubs, Kansas City at Houston, San Francisco at Colorado, Cincinnati at Oakland, Atlanta at Los Angeles, that's the Dodgers, and then New York at San Diego is the final game on the schedule tonight. So a lot of stuff out there, at least to watch or whatever you got going on, right?
Oh yeah. Well, and I forgot to tag you in this one earlier today. I saw it this morning and I had to read it. Derek Jeter unhappy with what's going on in Miami. that was the title. That was the lead in. The lead in was basically Jeter unhappy with his own moves. He, the group, whatever you want to call it, I guess since he's the face, he's getting stuck with all the blame. And, once the Marlins take it over in a couple of years, maybe he'll be everyone's favorite guy again. But they fired the president. I mean, and what the article was alluding to was, it's more or less the president's fault, but it was all Jeter's, doing. So he essentially, fired his own guy or kind of in the realm of that. He's mad at himself for the way things are turning out. Let's do a little quick one for those who need to be caught up. So Derek Jeter and group got together. If A-Rod wasn't on Sunday Night Baseball, I wonder if A-Rod would have been in that group too, because he's a Miami guy. And if Ryan Braun wasn't playing, would he have been in that group too? I don't know. Just a little speculation on my part. So Jeter and company come in, get rid of the entire outfield. Giancarlo Stanton goes to the Yanks for basically Starlin Castro. Christian Yelich off to Milwaukee for Lewis Brinson. And then I don't know who the Cardinals gave up for Marcell Ozuna, but I was lucky enough to have Ozuna and Yelich before their names kind of became household. On a fantasy team, and I honestly thought that this was one of the best outfields in baseball. Getting rid of Stanton, I mean, I kind of understood it. Who really wants to be under that for 10 years with that contract? Or was it 13, right? So then
yes.
Jeter comes in. They run the first season. They don't really, they call him Starlin Castro down, so he stays with the team. He doesn't talk about how he wants to get traded, even though I feel like he belongs on a championship team. I'm sure you feel the same way. Jeter then, gets rid of the uniforms, redesigns it. Personally, I kind of like the old stuff, but the new stuff, if you look at it, you can kind of see where it's a little Yankee-esque in the sense that it's a little bit more cleaned up. It's not so gimmicky, and it's traditional. So I'm accepting of it. Maybe I'm just on the wrong side of everybody else. I don't know if I'm just the devil's advocate. He got rid of that stupid carnival floaty, I don't know what the hell you called it, art piece in center field. Locally, I don't understand. One of the female broadcasters, I enjoy the hell out of them. They're great when I'm listening to them on the weekends. But she was so upset the first time the Cubs went down there that thing was gone. And that's all she could talk about. And there's so many people, there's a lot of jokes about it. You know, this team's renting it, and this minor league team's going to take it. I mean, to me, I don't know about you, Big Jack, it was an eyesore. It was a gimmick. It's not minor league baseball, and I don't think you needed that to draw people to the park. Plus, I just thought it was dumb to begin with. So I'm not in total disagreement with a lot of the stuff that they did. But for them to kind of claim that he's mad at himself, I don't know. I think the whole team is just under restructuring, and they're not really going to know what they have for another couple of years. How are you? Did I summarize the last couple of years of the Marlins with Jeter pretty well? And, you know, what's your take on it, him firing another guy? Does it really impact the team negatively or positively?
I don't think a move like that matters. But here, I can tell you, I looked it up while you were doing your summarization there. The Marlins got Daniel Castano, Zach Gallen, Sandy Alcantara, and Magnus Sierra in the deal for Marcell Ozuna.
They got a lot of guys.
Yeah, and, Alcantara actually looks like he could be a solid major league pitcher. So, you know, maybe mm-hmm. they landed something there. Two of the guys are still in the minors, so we don't know. And Sierra, he's a speed guy who's a solid outfielder, but I don't think he's ever going to be he's ever going to be an everyday player. I think at best he's just a fourth outfielder. So, yeah, you start looking, and I think – I think that's the biggest problem, and he should be mad at himself, for these things. I mean, I understand you like Lewis Brinson. A lot of people like Lewis Brinson, but, what else did you get with Lewis Brinson? Yelich was still under control for a while. So,
yeah.
you start looking that, nothing else came back. You got Brinson and three minor leaguers. So now you've got to hope that, oh my God, can we develop these guys? Or, because once Brinson doesn't turn into the star you can build around, you're automatically in a hole because of the way Yelich played. So, you kind of start looking, same thing for Stanton. You got Starlin Castro, who is a quality major league player, but then you ended up with two more minor leaguers. So, okay, if these guys turn out, maybe you've got something, but have you scouted right? Did you project right? There's so many questions that go into that when you make these moves. And, let's face it, they overpaid for the team and they had to make these moves. It wasn't anything to do with a rebuild or anything like that. They screwed themselves business-wise. And, they had to cut payroll. So what do? You trade your big contracts. They wouldn't have been able to keep Ozuna or Yelich. Because once the arbitration started coming in, the salaries would have been too high. So you deal them while you can get something for them. Castro, we know, is under a fantastic contract from being here in Chicago.
Oh.
So getting him back was no big deal. And then they didn't take a contract back in any of the other deals. They got minor leaguers all under control. So what did they do? They cut payroll. You damn well know if they could find a team that could take Martin Prado, they would have traded him too. But there's no value there. So, you know, it just, they, you know, they shafted themselves. And now they're, you know, they're paying for it with, you know, kind of whatever they've put together. I mean, I don't know, really looking at the team, you know, with the exception of, say, you know, Brian Anderson or, you know, probably Jorge Alfaro, how many of these guys would be hanging out on major league rosters if they weren't on the Marlins? So,
yeah. Well, not only that, I mean, we've seen in Arizona, once they signed Zach Greinke to the monstrous deal that they did, one thing to help generate some revenue was to roll out, you know, 14 different jerseys, it seemed like. So, I mean, essentially the Diamondbacks can go 2 weeks without wearing, I don't know if they're up to a month yet, but I know they're up to at least 2 weeks where they, you would not see them in the same, you know, uniform, whether home or road. I think it's right about 2 weeks, give or take, you know, maybe it's with the 2 days off in between. You know, so did that have anything to do with kind of redoing the uniforms for the Marlins? But at the same time, you know, how many guys are, you know, to me and you, the only jersey that you and I would buy would be Castro. And, you know, other than that, I, you know, who are you really jumping on? Does Wei-Yi Chen even play anymore?
No. No. Well, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, you've got to find, you know, well, you would buy a Sergio Romo jersey.
Yeah. Oh, he's there. I thought he was in Tampa, so.
Yeah. He's actually their save leader. I believe he has 6 saves for them now. So, you know, kind of like, oh, okay, here you go. But, yeah, I mean, besides Castro, I mean, like, I don't have anything against Neil Walker, but I'm not buying his jersey. So,
no.
I don't know, you know, but yeah, you are correct. I mean, that's part of, I'm sure part of the reason they redid the jerseys, and every team does it. They're not the only one, you know, it's a revenue stream. So.
Well, I mean, did it draw that much attention though? You know, and that's the other side of it, because they kind of blend in now.
Yeah, but maybe, you know, Yankee fans are buying them because they look kind of like Yankee uniforms.
Yeah. I mean,
so.
I don't know. Whatever. I would have gone back to the old Florida Marlin days. Maybe not took the Florida part of it, but kind of brought back that theme. But that's just me. I don't, you know.
Yeah, I
think it's just confusing on both ends. In the end, I do, you know, being a lover of baseball and the game as a whole, but, you know, I do hope it works out for them and they figure something out. You know, I did read that, you know, with the Marlins over the years, it was like crap getting dealt upon crap, because they won it, they tore it down completely, and then they, you know, kind of been that way since the beginning. So hopefully once Jeter does his restructuring, you know, him and his group, then maybe they can come along to somewhat of success over a longer period of time.
Yeah, and, you know what I mean? Obviously, you know, if they know what they're doing and he, you know, they evaluate it properly, they'll get there. You know, but that's, you know, that's always the question is, you know, was he the right guy and did they evaluate everything properly? You know, I mean, did they get the right players back in return? And, you know, I don't know how their drafts have went the last couple of years. I don't know anybody who they've picked. So, you know, we'll have to see. But it's going to be a long problem.
Yeah, but, you know, the other side of it, too, is whether it's Jeter or the Rays, is baseball really a full-time summer sport in Florida?
That's something else we'll you know, a lot of people who don't think so. But remember, we'll get that up tomorrow because Dan and I got to get out of here. So don't worry about it. Get over to postradio.com and we'll put a new blog up tomorrow morning. First of all, be early though. Hit the link and follow it over to Facebook page and give it a like. You went over there, why not, right? Don't forget to
We have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. If you find Dan Lyon Twitter, if you'd like to look it up, that'd be good. But hopefully, thanks for coming and listening to us live. But remember, if you did miss the podcast or any podcast, all you have to do is go to tunein.com. You can listen anytime you want.
Sports Time Radio.
Roll out.